From the Gospel of Luke,
chapter 21. I say in the bulletin 5 through 19, but I did want to start at chapter 1, verse 1. Because we like this little story. Right, Mom? As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the common treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, Jesus said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Some of his disciples were remarking at how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. Teacher, they asked, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place? He replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Then he said to them, nations will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over in synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries, bless you, will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Let us pray. Good morning, God, Jesus, Holy Spirit. I thank you for bringing us all together this morning. I thank you for placing me here today to speak your word. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. What are you distracted by? That's the question underlying our text this morning. What is it that draws your attention away from your call to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? It's not about followers of Jesus not being allowed to enjoy the beauty and wonder of this world. The Christian life is marked by joy, surrounded by wonder. But just like the disciples in our text, we can be distracted by what we see around us and lose sight of our reason for being, to live a life of proclamation and invitation. Okay, this week had so many distractions. There was a $2 billion Powerball, the election, the red moon, the lunar eclipse, just to name a few. Mark just told me Mercer County had a few snafus in the election process in Mercer County. The $2 billion Powerball had a hiccup with the drawing and they couldn't do it. What Saturday they had to do it, so I don't know. The New Yorker magazine online had a guide to navigating the blood moon lunar eclipse on election day. I didn't know that was a thing until I went online. Rolling Stone magazine had a long article on the astrological event that happened Tuesday morning. Did you know that lunar eclipses are known as bad omens? Henry I died in 1133, yes, just yesterday, because of a lunar eclipse. I got distracted. I was going down a dark rabbit hole with this search. Nazis, planets and zodiac signs, Pluto's return. I had to pull myself out of my internet search and get back to my sermon. I had to refocus my attention on what is important. And just as a little sidebar, our text ended at 19, but if you go to verse 25, it says, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. So it's there. There's no coincidences in God's world. So remember what I asked you a few minutes ago. What are you distracted by? It doesn't need to be a conspiracy theory. We don't need to unpack our aluminum hat. Our distractions can be personal. The aluminum foil hat you put on so that they can't read your mind. Full disclosure, I have had a week, and I'm going to tell you about it because I think it's helpful. I've already worked it through. Maybe we'll see where the tissues are. I went into a really dark, a dark depression this week, and it was distracting. First of all, it had me going this way instead of this way. But it just kind of starts making me question everything. What's going on? What am I doing? Can I keep doing this? If I had won the Powerball, probably would have handed in my letter of resignation. As much as I love my job, would have found another way to serve God. I didn't have a ticket. Don't worry, I didn't win. And I'm driving home Thursday night, and I am just in one of those places where all you can do is just let the Holy Spirit pray for you because there's no words. I'm crying, I'm driving safely. And I hear the voice that says, and maybe you all remember it, a couple weeks ago, Jeff asked you to come up with a list of people to pray for. And I did. I came up with a list. And one of those people on the list is the person, excuse me, that was bullying me, tormenting me, causing me to feel stressed. And God said, I told you to pray for that person. I don't have any words, God. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be praying for this person. What am I supposed to be doing? God's like, just let me just... I'll come up with the words, but you need to pray for this person. And I think I got through. It's still a little bit there. But I have to remember, don't go this way. This way. The distraction was the depression. The distraction was the thinking I was in control and out of control. And God very clearly says, no, I am the focus. And if you don't have any words, I got them for you. Look at me, look at me. So, who I'm praying for. And I will still keep praying for this person. So back to our text and how it can relate to our lives. In my readings for today, the commentaries, I went to Reverend Chuck Swindoll. I really like this man. He believes that there are two themes in our text today. The first one is, where are your values? Do you see what God considers precious? Remember, the disciples are looking around at all of the gold and all the stones and all the prettiness of the temple. And Jesus was looking at the lady putting her last two coins. She was precious. And do we have a total sacrificial commitment to God like the widow that I just mentioned. And the second theme is the future of humanity. We are here. God placed us here. He created humans and said, they are good. We're meant to be here, and we're not like the gospel song. We're not just a passing through. We're taught to enjoy this place, to treasure what God has given us, and engage fully with the humans, even the ones we have to pray for, that God has placed in our world. But it can be so easy to get distracted by world events. Our media, both mainstream and social, can take us down some scary, scary rabbit holes. So I worked yesterday. I went into a room, the woman's laying in the bed, her phone is laying on her pillow at her ear. I'm like, what are you listening to? Thinking maybe it's some pretty music or something. She goes, I'm listening to the news from my home country. And I said, what is your home country? She said, Haiti. They're killing each other. They are shooting each other. They're killing each other. Just everybody's just killing each other. So we talked for a little while, and we were able to come back around to where is your focus? You're distracted by the news of this country, which is easy to do. You still have family there. You still have friends there. It's your home. But your focus should be on Jesus. And then she tells me she just that day received a stage 3 ovarian cancer diagnosis. Focus. You've got this. But you don't have to do it alone. Focus on Jesus. Focus on God. These news feeds are not new. Before I went into that room, I left a room where the patient was watching a World War II History Channel show. We can go back even further. Civil war in this country, brother killing brother. In the Bible, just keep going back. Thousands of years, all the way back to Genesis. This is not new, and we are still here. And that's what Jesus is telling us. This is old news. Don't be afraid. Jesus is telling us to keep our focus on him. Keep our focus on what's important. And Jesus is reminding us that these things have been happening throughout history, and we're still here. I'd like to reread verses 13 through 15 again. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You don't need to be afraid of the potential arrest and persecution. Just like riding in my car Thursday and praying, I don't have any words. God said, I got the words. I'll give them to you. Remember, the Holy Spirit was sent to earth for a time such as these. The Holy Spirit's always around to give us comfort and to give us help. And when we don't have the words, the Holy Spirit will speak for us. So as verse 19 says, stand firm, and you will win life. Amen.